anything you don't intend to?
I was feeling pretty grateful after I read that. But no one's sucking in.
Cage here.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
Flying microphones.
Okay, so good evening, everyone. Welcome to the briefing session for the June Council meeting. As always, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet. It's really important for us as a town to acknowledge the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation and their ongoing contribution to our town and their connection to this country. I just want to bring to everyone's attention that since we've had the new audio system installed, we now have the capacity to film the sessions. So tonight's meeting will be live streamed and available on the internet for the public to view. So just keep that in mind during the conduct of the meeting. Moving on to item two on the agenda, so it's attendances and apologies. So the CEO is an apology for this evening. Do we have any others that have been received?
No.
Has anyone heard from Councillor Gandrill?
No.
Okay. So item three, we have some visitors with us this evening. So we have Katie Sullivan, Brett Hughes, and I'm not sure of Trevor's surname, I'm sorry.
Bucanara.
They're from the Department of Transport, from the Strategy and Reform team, and they're going to be speaking to us tonight about the Your Move program, which the Department of Transport has offered the town of Bassendean to engage with. So would the three of you like to come up to the table? So we've allocated about 20 minutes for you to present. I don't know if you wanted to use this one, if you can come up here. It's
Graham suggested we present from over
sure,
there.
Sure, that's fine. Yep.
Because the mouse only has a certain,
no problems.
Certain range. So we'll do that. While these guys just get organised, you might just get ready for the mouse and so forth. Firstly, thanks for taking the time, for letting us take your time to share what we have available for you. So I'm Brett, I'm the ED, Transport Strategy and Reform, which leaves me responsible for funding things like aviation regulation, heavy vehicle charging and the safety regime for autonomous vehicles, none of which I'll talk about tonight, and a great program which is about helping communities do what they want to do in terms of their own travel outcomes. Liam's our manager of the program, unfortunately he's ill tonight. Katie's here, Katie leads the team that would deliver the program, and Trevor provides a lot of the background support for the program. So Your Move, as you can see, is a travel behaviour change program. It's been offered to over 500,000 West Australians before. Some of you might have heard of the Travel Smart programs in the past. That had a focus on walking, cycling and public transport. We also had a Living Smart program with the Department of Health, which had a focus on sustainability and transport, and Active Smart with the Department of Sport and Recreation, which had a joint focus on physical activity. So these programs are particularly successful in increasing the uptake of new and existing public transport and cycling infrastructure. So you already know the town's vision, and one of the things we're keen about and happy about is the alignment between the town's vision and the Your Move program, because Your Move works with whole communities by engaging with residents and schools and workplaces to help people take part in the program. The program lasts for a period which Katie will describe to you, or Trevor. But it has long-term benefits as well, at least 5 years legacy after that, so it continues over time. So consistent with the town's vision, Your Move supports sustainability. It is consistent with the town of Bassendean's engagement with its community and engagement with the community, and it supports local connections as well. So I think when I start to think about this, it's really about helping the people, to the community, to do what it wants to do and to be what it wants to be. Thanks, Katie. So we've run these programs in the past. The reasons these programs are successful is because it's a partnership arrangement. We can't come in and run a program. We don't want to come in and tell people what to do. We want to engage with the council, as we already have, and engage with the community to help the community do and be what it wants to be. So previously we've partnered with Sport and Rec and with Coburn and Wanneroo, and these result in increased active transport trips, walking and cycling, and physical activity, but also the public transport trips. So in these two programs, they engage with more than 10,000 households in each program, and with the schools and workplaces. They also have partnerships, depending on who we can get on board once we get up and running, with the RAC or the Heart Foundation or HBF or Nature Play, to provide synergistic programs or additional complementary programs. Thanks, Katie. So here's two slides. They're a bit small to read, possibly from there, but I'll just pick a couple of highlights out for you. So from Coburn, 61% of the participants created active transport plans as part of their coaching. The program resulted in a 5% reduction in car trips per participant and a 6% reduction in car minutes travelled per participant. Now, that might sound a little bit, it can make a lot of difference to some of the outcomes that you're trying to achieve, but it's still achieving what the residents want to achieve. We're not telling them to do less and stop doing things. We're helping them choose their own ways to do the things that they want to do differently. So in Wanneroo, 61% of the participants achieved their active transport plan. 5% of the... there was a 5% reduction in the car trips per participant and a 6% reduction in car minutes travel per participant. I'm going to pass over to Katie now because Katie knows all of the details of this, and I just watch these guys and admire the work they do. But I just want to reinforce how keen we are to engage with the town of Bassendean, and that's because I think there's a really strong alignment between the values that underpin the town of Bassendean and its community and the council, and the values which underpin the Your Move program. The town's values are both at the community and the council level. And you know, I'm an engineer, so I don't get excited easily, but I'm really excited with these sorts of programs. They're great to watch. They're great to run. It's great to see the collaborations that occur with the individual people and the council. And I'm really looking forward to the team being able to run this program together with you. We've already had some good engagement with the staff. We've met with Bob and Renee, and that's been great. And we're keen to work with you all, work with your community to develop and deliver a program that works for your community. Thanks, Katie.
I think you've probably covered it now, Brett. okay, so just to quickly note here, Your Move is a behaviour change program, distinct from a mass media marketing campaign. We've got a cute little photo there of a great park facility that's been built with trees still stuck in the middle of it. So Doug McKenzie Moore tells us that providing information alone has little impact on people's behaviour change processes. So our programs have their roots in evidence-based research and in health promotion models and theory. So we use sophisticated behaviour change principles, including the need for localised and relevant information, ongoing support and empowerment of your residents to make changes, and we look at their motivators and barriers as well. And we work really hard to foster new social norms, so making physical activity and active transport a positive social norm in the community. So I've got a little visual here just to illustrate the breadth and depth of our program. So in the middle there, you can see our targeted information coaching that residents receive and our contact with schools. But it certainly has got a lot more breadth and depth to it. So it can include things if you guys are supportive in terms of soft, small-scale infrastructure. We always connect with council in terms of promoting what community events are on offer and services in the town. We've already spoken to PTA in terms of upgrades to local bus stops that will be funded potentially by PTA. And a part of our Coburn and Wateree projects has been installing wayfinding signs within those two localities. So I'll touch on those again in a sec. So what are the program objectives, you might ask? So our main objective is to increase public transport patronage with a focus on Bassendean train station. And obviously that will then spill over to increase patronage at neighbouring train stations as well. We're keen to increase walking and cycling trips in the town, and obviously as a result of the first three, we'll see a decrease in the number of car trips that residents take.
So, some of the things we offer to local residents that we've offered in the past in Coburn and Wanneroo are we always frame it as a town of Bassendean or a city of Coburn project, because evidence has found that if we were to say we're coming from the state government, people switch off, whereas if it's a local government coming to them with a service, they're a lot more receptive. So that's one of the fundamental things we do. It's backed by a detailed communications and stakeholder engagement strategy, and we'd like town Bassendean's input in that. Depending on the recommendations from our service delivery consultant, the following localised information and rewards are likely to be offered to residents, such as active travel maps for the town of Bassendean, personally addressed letters and emails, such as a letter of invite from the mayor, which is really quite fundamental to getting the word out there initially. Individualised journey plans, one-on-one coaching, which is one of our fundamental methodologies, and we touch base with people several times during the program over a period of 3 to 6 months. It might be 3 or 4 phone calls that, you know, they bring them up and say, so we'd spoke about last time you said you're going to walk to the local shops, how'd you go with that, can we give you anything to help you with that, etc, etc. So it's a real communication, and we always try and match the same coach with the same residents as well. Information about local relevant events such as partner organisations and the town of Bassendean, a welcome pack with backpacks, maps, brochures and other small rewards. And this is really quite fundamental as well to the success of the program. They're all little tools to help them use public transport, walking and cycling in their local area. So another fundamental thing that we always do is we try and get a local Your Move officer embedded in the local council. It's funded by DOT, and it's a part-time position usually, because the community engagement is vital to the program, and working with the town's offices, schools and workplaces as a change agent for travel behaviour change. Having an officer on the ground throughout the whole project delivery is quite vital and essential, because it maintains local authenticity and a key point of contact for participating schools and workplaces, and it supports other council officers to respond to day-to-day queries from residents. A Your Move officer is a vital conduit for information exchange between DOT and the town of Bassendean, and the officer will spend a bit of time in both offices and have pop tests usually in both locations. And that officer will manage project management meetings at the town of Bassendean and all project stakeholders while the program is being delivered. So, next. So our partnership. The program really depends on a supportive partnership between Council and DOT. Our partnership includes participation, integration and the support of the town through the whole process of project planning, delivery and evaluation. And DOT invites the town to take part and actively participate in the design workshops when we're designing the project. This is because this is your project as well as ours, and it works best when the council is really engaged. We rely on your intimate local knowledge to inform the design of all the elements of the program and deliver a better program to the local residents. So new local infrastructure. This is a really important thing that we do alongside phone coaching. It's important that local residents actually see changes on the ground as well. So Your Move works closely with our cycling team at DOT to try and align our projects with any shared paths or bike boulevards, say that streets that are going through. We work to activate PSP upgrades, such as Whitfield Avenue, and we also install these wayfinding signs that you can see the ladies holding there, and they can be scaled to suit the town of Essendon if the town would like to help implement that project. And it's been extremely successful in both Coburn and Wanneroo in engaging the local community. The reaction we've got from local residents has been really heartwarming, with kids, you know, running along from sign to sign, identifying that, oh, there's a path down there I didn't know about. And we get a lot of comments from local residents about those. And there's other local infrastructure like bike racks, bike repair stations, etc., etc., as well as, Katie mentioned, those bus information modules that the PTA have committed to installing a whole bunch of them in the town of Essendon if we deliver the program. So, Katie, over to you. Next slide.
So this is a good one, the project value in terms of Your Move and what the town of Essendon will receive. So our approximate budget is $600,000 for design, delivery and evaluation of the project. That doesn't include the part-time funded position, which is approximately $50,000. And then obviously our team back at Transport who will be working to project manage Your Move in Bass City. I've just provided a really high level timeline here in terms of potential next steps if Council agrees to partner with Department of Transport to deliver Your Move. So we'd act really swiftly to create an MOU with you guys or a letter of agreement as appropriate. And then we'd look to put in place two contracts with service deliverers who would help us design, deliver and evaluate the program. And we'd look to start engaging with residents in October. That's the date we've got in mind at the moment. But lots of contact with yourselves before then, and then as well recruit the Your Move officer as soon as possible to start working. Okay, so Town of Bassendean's role, obviously agreed to partner with us to deliver the program and consider providing some in-kind support for this officer. I know that you're super, super squished in terms of desks here at Council. For our last program at Vic Park, this officer worked there probably a day a week and then was hot desking, like Trev alluded to, between Town of Vic Park of Transport, so it would be in kind of support in terms of some kind of space, whether it be in a cupboard or whatever you've got available.
Car park.
Oh, the irony. and a computer, and obviously a team to sit in as well. Consider providing access to the ratepayers database, which is a standard practice for our program, because it helps create a more robust caller database. So we do that, you know, as required, fulfilling the requirements of the Local Government Act. And that enables us to personalise those phone calls and that information that we send out in terms of letters. And also consider a contribution to fund local active transport grants or small-scale infrastructure, things like the wayfinding in Bassendean, to complement what's happening in terms of behaviour management program.
The bus module, I'm not quite sure I understand what that's about. Are you able to elaborate?
Yeah, so you might have seen them, you know, typically you see the orange pole in the ground. That's the base model information display that the BTA offers. It doesn't, apart from a number, it doesn't give you a lot. So the bus modules are about 6 foot high, they're aluminium, and they've got timetables on both sides. You've probably seen them around Perth. So every time we go into an area, we really push hard to get as many of those installed as possible, just to give people the most information.
And is that a split cost between state and local government, or
no? That's PTO have agreed to fund that 100%.
Trevor, you also mentioned upgrade to bus stops. Is that the bus module
that's
you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But I have spoken to the guys at the PTO and I've sent through some information about various other grant options that they have for upgrading the bus stops themselves.
Yes, they removed a pile of our bus stops and then told us we could have them back if we paid for half the cost of replacing them.
Yep.
So if they'd be keen to help fund that would be wonderful.
Well, it'd be a good time to ask.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think they identified 40 to 50 orange posts.
Between 45 and 50 that they'll replace with a bus module.
Councillor
Mikachu? Yeah, firstly, thank you for your presentation. It was really engaging and it's really exciting, so it's wonderful that we've got that opportunity. I was wondering, in regards to the participants, how do you go about recruiting residents or selecting people to participate in the program?
So usually we send out a mayoral letter of invite, and that's also in coincidence with social media campaigns, local print media. Council's got a newsletter and social media channels. We tap into those. And so we kind of do an approach to schools as well. So we try and recruit local primary schools that are interested in the program. We also ask the town to champion in terms of workplace. And once all of that has started to kind of infiltrate around the community, then we start those cold calls. And that call will be, hi, my name's Katie, I'm here from the Move Bassendean. You may have received a letter in the post. This is the program that we're running. Would you be interested in engaging with the program and explaining a little bit of background? That, you know, we're not selling anything, it's just a free community engagement program. So, and then what happens is if they decide to opt in, they then receive, like Jeff said, 3 or 4 phone calls, they set goals, small targets, and they'll receive nudges, I guess text messages, whatever they decide they're comfortable to opt in with. So it might be text messages, emails, and the phone calls as well. So they might be getting it from a few angles. If they work locally, they might be getting it through work. If they have children going to primary school that's engaged, they'll be hearing about it there as well, and then they'll be receiving that personalised service as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a nice, it's literally a coaching service. So,
yeah.
And, you know, because they take great notes, the coaches will ring up and they'll, you know, they'll touch on the last conversation, so it feels like it's a familiar thing for you. It's not a telemarketing conversation.
It's nothing like telemarketing, sorry. It's nothing like telemarketing.
Yeah.
It's nothing like mass media campaigns.
No, it's really
it's more like a conversation that eventually is with somebody who's more like a trusted friend.
Yeah.
No, it sounds very personalised, and, you know, it's great that you're touching on those elements. You know, one thing that's been at the forefront of a lot of things we're doing is, you know, how to achieve behavioural change. So it'll be really fascinating to see how the model rolls out.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're keen to have your input as well.
Yeah,
obviously, you've got the local knowledge and expertise, so it's really important.
Fantastic.
So this is a program about behavioural change. Is there going to be any opportunity to increase the bus services in the town eventually, if there is enough demand for it?
I better answer that. Department of Transport isn't responsible for the BTA,
I know.
Even though we're in the portfolio. Demand is an issue which drives bus services. I wouldn't like to kid you that this is going to increase the bus demand so much that you will get more services. But certainly you can use this program as information and leverage. I won't kid you that it will necessarily make a difference, but it's all information that you can use to help make your case.
So I don't know if the staff made you aware, but we're actually undertaking a transport study at the moment. UrUp is doing a transport study for us.
Who's doing it?
UrUp.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is very timely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's feed
we'd love to talk to them. Yep.
Perfectly for this. We've already given a lot of feedback into that study, and particularly what we call the island is cut off by the river and Guildford Road and Tonkin Highway.
Yep.
And there's only one bus service and it comes once an hour. And I can guarantee you that the amount of people within that little pocket would use the train station a ton more if there were more regular bus services just within that little island. So I personally live 2 kilometres away within that island from the train station. I drive to the... I'm a regular user of the train.
Yep.
I use it every day.
Yep.
But I don't have time in the morning to walk to the train station. So if there was a bus at that early morning, I guarantee you that little pocket, you have a captured market of behavioural change for the people.
Absolutely.
Just within that island.
Mm.
To get them to use the train in the morning, I guarantee you it would work.
Yep.
But it's not going to happen if they don't have a bus. So the feedback that you'll get, and I'm sure, and there's a lot of information that's been provided into that transport study, which will give you more of an understanding about the people of Bassendean and what we want and need in terms of our transport infrastructure. So I'm feeling like this is a bit of cart before the horse, in that we would need to give you the transport study in order for you to understand our community, in order for us to roll it out effectively. Otherwise, it's going to be ineffectual. So is it a kind of a program that you come and... I saw a timeline, 6 months or something?
Mm, yeah. Between 3 to 6 months. And I guess part of that, so that's actually delivering on the ground. Before that, up until October, part of the consultant who will be designing and delivering the program for us in terms of the actual coaching calls and helping design some of the materials, there's a formative research section in the scope and RFT, so where they actually have to come and consult with community. So if you've got that information available, obviously that would be incredibly valuable as well.
Well, when's the study finished, Tony?
I think it's scheduled about either August or early September.
Okay. Well, that might work.
Yeah.
And they would have a whole heap of that information already.
Already.
If they're allowed to share it with us, we would value that. I think the opposite is true as well. As I said, I'm an engineer and we love to build things. But we do have to, in our transport plans, maximise the benefits of the potential patronage and not just... build things and hope that people will come and use the infrastructure, but the behaviour programs maximise the use of existing infrastructure, and using the transport plan to help inform us to do that gives a better result for the community.
Yeah, I get it. And I think you're pitching to a market that's not me, which is why I kind of have a bit of a problem with it, because I already use public transport. I already walk everywhere.
Sure.
I see my barriers, and they are X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely.
So you're not pitching it to me. You're pitching it to people that already aren't doing it. I get it. But what about the people that are already doing it?
Yeah. Look, we don't intend to change everybody's behaviour. You know, it's a lot of people doing the right thing, the good thing, if you like. I don't want to be judgmental to say that one thing is good or bad. But a lot of people find that they can change a few of their trips and decide that, actually, I do want to do a bit more exercise. Hang on a minute. And without pitching to you personally, I don't have to take the car to the train station every day. One day a week I'll take the bike, and that'll help me do these other things that I want to do. So there's all sorts of little changes that occur, rather than expecting everybody to ditch the car and walk to the train station. That isn't the way it works. It's all about the margins for all sorts of different activities for all sorts of different people in different ways. So it's, again, it's not like the mass media campaign that says we're going to change everybody's behaviour, they're all going to wear seatbelts by telling people, which doesn't work. But it's all about these individual little margins in different ways.
Okay, thanks. And one last question.
Sure.
Sorry, take up everyone's time. It does say in here that there's an expectation for us to put a little bit of money into the program. Is there an indication of what that might be?
Yep. So
Previous programs have ranged. So Vic Park contributed $20,000. City of Coburg contributed $150,000. Wanneroo, around 150. So provided officers with a kind of, I guess, a wish list of items that would complement the program. So that would be, I can provide that to you guys or
through direct. So, just to clarify, when I met with you with some of the staff, we had this discussion as well around what the expectation would be for the town's contribution from a financial perspective.
Yeah.
And please correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding was that the basic program we could choose to partner with without there necessarily being a financial contribution.
Yeah.
Any contribution was up to us. And then, for example, you used the $20,000.
Yeah.
My understanding was that that could be for things like bike racks that
absolutely.
We were
yep.
potentially going to be putting in already and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I assume that your programs are multifaceted in that obviously you've got buses, trains and cycling as probably your main three
yeah.
with whatever else is auxiliary. So when you're pitching to people, I'm assuming in the beginning it's trying to ascertain a direction with the people that you're contacting on the phone,
yeah,
and then trying to measure how much of an uptake they engage. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think when we spoke as well, you talked about the schools a bit more than you did tonight, and
yeah.
for example, putting some assisting the schools to put in place programs such as walking buses and those kind of initiatives.
Absolutely, bike education
yeah.
sessions, a whole raft of things. So we didn't have much time tonight, so
no.
into great detail about that. But yeah, our schools program is supported by a great website as well, so schools engage with that, and we support them through a bit of a journey in terms of activating their whole school communities. So getting champions as far as teachers, parents and student leaders to help with the program and gather that momentum. So having Walk to School Wednesdays or Feed Free Fridays and just having that constant repetitive behaviour change messages that is actually healthier and you feel better and you feel, you know, parents get to spend that quality time and you'll get to know people in your neighbourhood and all of those kind of nice community connections that the program fosters. So we do that through our schools program.
Are there any other questions? Yeah.
Given the size of the council, we're 10 square kilometres, I don't suppose that matters, but how many people do you think you would be sort of communicating with? You're talking 30%, 20%, 10%?
So we will invite everybody, every resident, to join the program. And we've set a couple of recruitment goals in terms of our scope and RFT documents. So we'll, I guess we're waiting to hear back with what those consultants will come back with. But a minimum, I guess the first recruitment goal that we've set is 2,000 adults, and the second one is double that, 4,000.
Thank you.
Yep.
Councillor Brown?
terrific program, thank you. Focusing on walking, cycling and public transport. It's also, I mean, walking and cycling, there are impediments to that by people who are less able, people with medical conditions, people that aren't quite ready for the gopher yet. Where do you see electric push bikes, cycles, fitting with it? I'm talking about the big hybrid things with pedals in them. The reason I ask is there's some European cities, big European cities are encouraging small, foldable electric push bikes, very modern technology. These things fold up to the size of a single child pram, so people can go from their home to work. If the weather changes, they can get back on a train and come home, or they indeed can go from their home to public transport, fold them up and take them with them.
Yeah.
I actually, as a consequence of looking at your program, I rang the contacted the Department of Transport, and they said they're illegal. Because they don't have pedals on
fold-up bikes?
Fold-up electric bikes.
Electric bikes are illegal. So I asked why. And I got a response. I asked why they're illegal. And they said because if the battery runs out, you'll need a pedal home. It seemed a funny response to legislation. I've got the email.
Yeah.
It says that's the reason they're illegal. I realise there's power restrictions and whatever.
They've
got to be under 5 watts or whatever. But they form a very important part to that group of people that can't walk to the railway station or they don't have a shower in the city when it's 40 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are impediments to walking and cycling. So I was wondering if there's an opportunity to discuss that with your people. Introduction, not the introduction so much, they're looking at legislation surrounding small fold-up electric bushbikes. There's one called Stego, S-T-E-G-O. That's an interesting one to have a look at. And it really does fill that niche. So I was just wondering if in your thinking there's an opportunity to do that for that thin wedge of people that can't walk or cycle.
You might be able to answer that, Brad.
I'll have a shot. The first thing is that electric vehicles are starting to change that part of the transport market. And there are indications that it's going to change it quite dramatically. So we don't know how much and we don't know when, because the electric bike prices are still quite high compared to a pedal cycle. I'm not involved in bicycle policy directly, so I see bits of it. I see a bit of the road safety thing that says they've got to be power limited to 250 watts or whatever it is. We're always happy, the Department of Transport is always happy to have the conversations with people. We're not in a position as part of the program to change policy or promote incentives or whatever. We may be, and I'm just thinking laterally here, sometimes we can be in a position to engage differently, like with the bicycle suppliers, to see whether they would be willing, and I'm completely dreaming here, willing to partner with the program to be able to offer bicycles, not as a subsidy, maybe at a discount, maybe whatever that is, so that there's more understanding about what the options are for some people that don't have it at the moment. The government's financial position, I've got to say, is limits things like what it wants to do in terms of subsidies and discounts. So those sorts of financial incentives tend to be reluctant about. We're always happy to have the conversation and take it up with our bicycle policy people and engage with them on the infrastructure, and potentially we'll have the question around the design to see whether there's anything that we can do together.
There's also in our Wanneroo project, RSC had quite a big role and did a couple of electric bike trials. So partnering with larger workplaces and offering it to employees to trial a bike for a period of, I think, 10-12 weeks, and they had to keep a travel diary and they had to pledge that they would use those electric bikes to do those trips for their work commute for a sustained period of time, so getting the behaviour change to set in. And at the end of the program they had the opportunity to purchase those e-bikes, because they are quite expensive, a half the retail price that they were purchased. They were really nice e-bikes, and the results for both Perth Metro and Albany were quite incredible in terms of behaviour change and, you know, all of those great outcomes for that trial. So
there's some fantastic technology out there. I just looked at one, and so they're using them, they're encouraging the use of them in cities, and yet doing away with pedals, which is superfluous, and they couldn't give a real good reason why this, apart from the fact that, what happens if you're between here and June Love, you run out of power?
That's tricky.
These things have got a range of over 45 kilometres. This is just some basic research. And countries like Holland and France, in the bigger cities, they're being encouraged. They're small, no bigger than this chair, can fold up to the size of a single child's pram.
So can I just ask, if council chooses to partner with the program, it sounds like there's a lot of people who are keen. I'm assuming there'll be more opportunities to discuss the details at some stage. Does anyone have any further questions that would influence whether or not they're going to support this? Because we'll have more opportunities to discuss the specifics later on. Any of the staff have any questions?
One last question, maybe. If councillors came up with a program which encouraged the use of bikes in some way, perhaps applying for a grant, would you guys, if it was something appealing, would you actually also incorporate that into your promotions or not?
We'd have to look at it, I guess, but
on a case-by-case basis.
So if there's the opportunity by which there can be allied activities that supports council and our objectives in the program, that's what we should be looking at, and that's why we want a collaborative dialogue to see what might be possible, whether they're events or local businesses or grants or whatever those things are. That should be part of the design process that we're keen to talk to you about.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. In both Coburn and Wanneroo, we set up a partnership group with local businesses and various stakeholders like the RAC, HBF, and staff from the city, and we had regular monthly meetings trying to do these exact things.
I'm specifically thinking of a program that started in Europe where they have the double bikes, and it's for the elderly taking them to and from the shops, because quite often the elderly have to catch taxis back, and that's a program that I've been quite interested in for a while. So anyway,
happy to look at all options.
Well, thank you. I think that was a great presentation, and really appreciate you giving the Town of Bassendean the opportunity to partner in this program. And so thanks, Katie and Trevor and Brett, for your time this evening. I'm sure we'll be in touch in the near future.
Thanks for having us. If you've got any other questions that come to mind afterwards, you know what it's like. Get on the phone, talk to us, and we're happy to continue to work with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, so item 4, declarations of interest. None? Okay, item 5, addresses by members of the public. Mr. Kay, you're the only person here. Is there anything that you would like to address us on?
Yes, you would. Thank you. I was thinking it'd be possibly more a question, so that's how my thinking goes, but the revised program for the strategic planning framework. I'm very concerned that the program seems to be stretching well beyond the May 2019 date that we originally targeted. Mr. Dowling is new, but he would probably be aware that most of us wanted the rezonings and things somewhere back in 2006. The 2008 study by Hames Sharley was well regarded by the community as to doing things. And here we are now looking at a plan maybe appearing about 2020. I think people forget that what the plan actually does in real things in changing land use planning is that it affects a lot of residents who may have thought for some years that their land was going to be rezoned and thus perhaps attract a higher value for them if they wanted to sell their asset to move on or whatever. I walk around the streets, a lot of our residents are old, and you can see some that you used to see that now you don't see. So I'm very concerned that, are we going to be here in another 50 years' time, still waiting to get the plan finalised? And that bothers me a great deal. It bothers me a little bit that in the program that I'm sure Mr. Dowling has prepared, there's a couple of items that are running concurrently, which are... Sorry, I'll see if I can find my bit with my marks on it that I can talk to you about. And I guess... I guess having been in the industry and knowing the work involved in some of these plans, I'm very nervous that the proposed timeframes are quite tight and that some things really need to be done in a sequential manner. So that in the proposed revised planning under local planning strategy in item 2 is phase 2, develop local integrated transport plan, item 2.3.2, and in the next item there's development of residential density scenarios at 2.21, and there is also further down in item 3.2, prepare and develop a contribution plan. Both the transport plan and the contribution plan have to follow what densities are selected. A lot of work can be done to be prepared for it, but without knowing where we think we'll put higher density, in other words, higher demand on services, then both transport and service planning really can't proceed. So while I admire Mr. Dowling's intention to run these parallel, and maybe they can be, but my experience is that without establishing what densities we want to do, even if we change it later, it doesn't matter, but we need to establish something so these plans can be done. The development contribution plan people talk about quite lightly, it is a very big piece of technical work. What it needs to do is identify all the existing services, identify what will be required after the plan is implemented, even though it might take 20 years, work out what it's cost so that individual contributions can be made in a meaningful way. It also needs to be set up so that it can be continuously upgraded over the years, because costs change, some things get a bit cheaper, some things get dearer. So it needs to be very carefully structured and set up. And the only person I've ever seen do it was an officer at the City of Canning, and he managed 6 town planning schemes, and his development contributions were all highly detailed and listed. He had them all updated every 6 months. You could get an updated one to know where you were on your development, and it was probably the most brilliant piece I've ever seen done in local government. We need to be there, but I know how much work it takes. So for me in this program, I don't think this program, well, I'd like to think it could be, I don't think that it can actually practically be achieved, because some things need to be done followed by others. And at the back of all this, and I've always said this from when we started back in 2016, it's the community consultation. I think it's terrific. Council gets involved, considers it all, puts the best plan forward. But I do know my fellow citizens will stand up and pick it to bits, which will cause further delay. I mean, that's what will happen. So, and the plan put up needs to be well defended to my fellow citizens, the public. So I'm quite concerned at the delays and that it's going on, and I'd like to urge Council, as I have urged Mr Dowling and Mr Reid, to do whatever can be done to keep us on target and going ahead, and wherever possible to pull things back, also knowing that community consultation will be a very big task.
Thank you, and I'm sure when we get to that item there'll be questions that councillors have for the staff. I appreciate your input.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you.
Bruce, I can't believe you said we'll still be here in 50 years waiting. You and I won't be.
Let's hope.
Well,
some of these.
Councillor Brown.
Can I say we've been trying to close Scheme 10-4A for 15 years?
We're just used the word weak.
Yeah, well, I'm weak because I'm community. We're all community. We're all trying to do it.
We understand.
No, it's all right. Have a look in Mrs Carter's History of Bassendean. There's a picture of the top end of Old Perth Road in 1927. Go and have a look at it now.
Thanks,
ma'am. Okay, so moving on to item six, which is the report. So, councillors, just before we start discussing the reports, I just want to remind everyone that we're in a briefing session, so it's the opportunity for us to ask questions. So we need to try and refrain from expressing opinions or debating during this part of the meeting. Okay, so item 6.1, this is the Lord Street and Chapman Street properties for sale. Are there questions for the staff on this item?
So I just want to make sure my knowledge is complete about these blocks. Were these the two blocks that were acquired at 5% of the value from the state government?
Correct.
What was the specific purpose or sale condition that was attached to those blocks?
My understanding is that the condition was that the funds would be used in its entirety for the playground at Sandy Beach.
I've got a follow-on question from that. So there's been some discussion in the community, obviously, about this playground and about the funding and about some of the other things that we may need to potentially look at, such as toilets at that site. I had previously spoken to the CEO to investigate whether or not there was an opportunity to use some of that money for things such as toilets, or alternatively, if there was, if council did want to pursue a smaller scale at that site, whether any additional money could be distributed elsewhere. Do you know if that's been, we've had any advice on that yet?
Not at this stage. My understanding is with the toilets that we can actually use cash and loo money for, but that might be another matter, but I'll find out before.
Okay. I've also got a question around the timing for the sale. So the report indicates that it's a pretty low market at the moment for real estate, and have we received any advice around whether now is a good time to sell or...?
With the comments that Bruno made, I think he was more concerned that we would try to sell them through what they call a tender process, where he couldn't advise the people the price and that sort of thing. He maintains that either by auction or by private treaty, we would have a better chance of selling.
So just to clarify, on page 4, he refers to the timing of the sale, and he's mentioning potentially his recommendation at this point is to put the blocks on the market in late September or early October, so not right now.
No, that's right.
So would it be correct to think that if it got to September and still the market wasn't looking great, then we might consider to delay it?
Absolutely.
Until... Okay. Councillor Hamilton?
I think reading the report that the real estate agent is suggesting that September, October is best because we're coming into summer, I'd be a bit concerned. I'd probably maybe go back to the real estate agent and talk about delaying it because Christmas time usually is very bad as well. So
I think it was I think he was more mentioning the spring sort of time when when things start selling. That's his comment to us, whether it's true or not.
So I'm unsure when the mayor was mentioning about perhaps could some of the funds be included and utilised for the upgrade of the toilets. Is that an unknown at the moment, or?
Yes, that is an unknown at this time.
Okay.
So attempts have been made to get support tonight, but unsuccessful.
We'll have a response by council.
Councillor Quinton?
The 5%, is that's paid once the blocks are sold?
No, we purchased the blocks in the financial year 2016-17.
Okay, so that's what the 5%'s already been paid.
Yeah,
okay.
We paid $50,000 for both blocks.
Great, okay. And it's just the normal... It's just like buying a house, right? So someone puts an offer on, we don't have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
The blocks can stay...
Yep.
For sale as long as we want to have them for until
correct.
The market picks up.
Yep.
So I'm not really understand. I get he's an expert and he's a real estate agent and he does this all the time. But what difference would it make if we put them on sale now? And if we got 10 offers now and we got the right price, why wouldn't we just take it now? I don't understand why we would need to delay it at all.
Oh, I guess he was... give us some advice. We're not real estate agents, but there's no reason why we couldn't put it on the market now. If that's what council decides, that's fine.
Any other questions? Councillor Brown?
In the unlikely event that doesn't go ahead, public opinion or whatever, too costly, will those blocks revert back to the state?
Ooh.
Or would they...
They're
diverted to another purpose, like some of the other priorities in the town?
Yep. We purchased the properties on the sole expectation, or it was actually stated in the agreement that they would be used to sell and use the funds to provide the playground at Sandy Beach Reserve. So in terms of what else could be funded, could it be toilets? Could it be acquiring the sewer and the deep sewer? Then that's the sort of stuff that we have yet to get a response to. I'm sure that we can find some projects down at Sandy Beach too.
Just simply, if it was scaled back, only the cost was similar to the sale price of one property, then we're left with a surplus property. Let's chuckle a couple of words in there, but there's some issues around the main seat modification.
So that's the question that staff are seeking to get clarification on for the meet, for the council meeting.
In worst case, we don't give the blocks back.
Councillor Hamilton?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I always thought, for instance, reserve funds, we have a project that didn't go ahead, there's $87,000 left in that fund, which the project is not going ahead. So I understand that it's simply a matter of writing to the minister to get those funds reallocated to another purpose that's usually for another reserve. Would that be correct?
The cash and loan funds?
This is the one I'm talking about is the Broadway one, but what I'm getting at is I've been told by one of the staff, one of the managers, that it can be, it's as simple as writing to the minister to have that change, but usually the requirement is there has to be expenditure on a reserve. Is that correct?
So the cash in lieu funds, the minister has already approved for the playground at Sandy Birch.
Right.
$315,000 or something. Don't quote me on that number, but it's a substantial number that has been approved by the minister for the playground as part of the capital acquisition process.
Okay.
So the three form or the three parts was the sale of the land and the proceeds from the land, Lottery West contribution, and the cash in lieu contribution. So the playground will be being constructed. Will be being constructed without any municipal funds, without any rate funds being utilised for the process.
Okay. Mr. Hackett, can I just ask, obviously this is a slightly different topic, but do you have an idea about when the playground will come back to council? Following the resolution at last month's meeting?
Yeah, look, I'm hopeful for July and July around.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any further questions? Okay, so moving on to 6.2. This is the verge tree that was damaged on Clark Way. I have a question around the streetscape contribution, the $2,221, and where that comes from.
Yes, through the chair. Yes, the council sets the fees and charges,
mm-hmm.
and it's been determined on the purchase price of a tree, and then the ongoing maintenance of that tree until it's established after 3 years.
Okay, so that was my next question. So this fee is set so that we're not having any expense
yes.
to replace it and to maintain it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And, sorry, a second question. Obviously, in this situation, part of the problem is that there was non-compliance with the demolition permit.
That's correct.
Yeah. So is there any consequence? Is there follow-up? What happens in that situation?
I did speak to the principal buildings about today, and as you've indicated, you know, there was a condition placed on the developer to submit an application to protect the tree,
mm-hmm.
and that was not undertaken. I did actually ask that question in regards to whether there's a consequence. So I can probably get that information to you next.
That's okay. I can speak to you during the week.
Okay.
Are there further questions? Councillor
Quinton? So the landowner has offered to replace the tree themselves. If we wanted to go down that track, obviously they want to save the demolition company $2,500. What would be the process if we decided to go down that track and allow them to replace the tree?
Very similar to what's already outlined here. So the officer's recommendation is that we pursue the demolition contractor because they've admitted some liability in regards to the damage to the tree. So if you wanted to pursue the property owner, it would be a similar process, except that you've already had an admission from the demolition contractor.
My understanding is that the demolition contractor offered to replace the tree.
Yes,
so
that's correct. So we are pursuing that process. So we can't just return
deposit.
The security bond, because that's for the administrative process is that we would retain the security bond until they've paid that fee for the damage to the tree. That's the process.
Okay.
Any further questions?
I'm confused. We retain the bond until they replace the tree. We can get there.
Until
that was the question.
Until they provide the funds for the replacement of the tree.
But the question was that they agreed to replace the tree themselves. That was the question.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my apology. Well, they may look in our experience. The people may say that they're going to replace the tree, and they may well do so, but then the ongoing maintenance of that tree for 3 years until it's established may not occur, and then the tree may die, and that means the council then needs to come back in again and then replant that tree, and so there's an ongoing process. So obviously this person has admitted to damaging the tree. Council has in place a certain policies, and there's a local law in regards to the protection of trees, and if there's any damage to that tree, and so there's an opportunity here to recoup those funds, because the tree does have a value that is also important, not just the replacement of it, but the value of that tree to the environment.
So in your experience, the answer is, in your experience, people promise to do these things and they don't?
Well, no, look, I'm just saying that it may not necessarily be followed through. They might have all the...
Do we have their money?
Got the bond.
Do we have their money?
We have a security bond from the property owner, but not from the... But not from the
demolition contract.
We're in a pretty strong position to get them to replace the tree.
Yes, we are. Unfortunately, in this particular case, we are in a stronger position to argue the case. In previous cases, which have been articulated in the report, where trees have been vandalised, we've never been able to identify who may have actually vandalised and damaged the tree. Whereas in this case, we have been able to identify the person.
Thanks, Simon.
Okay, moving on to 6.3, the workforce plan. I had a discussion with Mr. Costarella earlier this evening about the fact that some of the positions on the workforce plan that we're discussing, it might be better for us to do this as a confidential item at the end of the agenda. Is there anybody who has a problem with that? No? Okay. So we'll come back to that later on. 6.4, the electronic recording and streaming policy. I just had a comment to make that when it came to council last time and we deferred it, that there were a number of changes that I had flagged. Mike, you're looking horrified. That I'd flagged as needing to be made. No, minor things. So during the week, maybe I could...
Sure. I think this was...
Yeah, there were a couple of things in there that I thought were a bit obsolete. So if we're doing a new policy, we may as well tidy it up.
Yes, sorry.
Are there any questions?
How come the camera had to go there?
It has been moved next week.
I asked the CEO last week.
Yeah,
and
it's been moved. We haven't had time to put it over there.
Where is it being moved to?
Straight over there.
Yeah.
I'll get your good side.
Your good side, he said.
But will it get signed?
No way. No. Might have to shift sign. It'll be all right. It'll go over there.
Okay. Everyone happy? Mm.
Does staff understand that in a public meeting that people attend, people can see them in the room?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That wasn't clear to me.
But I thought the angle was only for the council.
Well, the current angle isn't really ideal because it's...
It catches this chair here.
Yeah. So I think it would be better for everybody if it was central.
This way, which means it won't catch the public anyway.
No. Well, the idea is for it to be councillors and... staff who are captured.
We may need to upgrade the camera just and say a couple hundred dollars or something so we can get the right angle.
So we're going to get a hairdresser every time we have a meeting to come. Sorry.
Important questions, Kat.
Apologies.
Okay, 6.5, the waiver of fees for the Bassendean for Free meeting.
I just have a policy question. So in kind contributions, is that always going to come to council for a decision? Thank you. That was all.
Nothing further?
Sorry, if I just add to that. There is no delegated authority to the administration to negotiate fees. The fees are the fees.
Okay.
Can I just clarify, is the suggestion that it be in kind because it has already been paid for?
Yes, it has not been paid, as I understand, but an invoice would be raised pending the outcome of the determination by council.
Okay.
So if council was to waive the fees,
yes.
Then obviously we wouldn't be raising an invoice. Or the alternative, and I think this is what Salvatore is recommending, is that his business unit not be disenfranchised by that amount and have it as a donation, and donation by the town to the town, so that the organisation doesn't have to pay.
Thank you for clarifying
that.
Okay, everybody happy? Move on to 6.5, strategic planning framework. Mr. Dowling, I was just wondering, Mr. Kay raised a couple of points around the time frame and sequence and the concurrency of some of the projects. Are you able to offer some comments on that for council?
Yeah, happy to do so. Okay. The time frames has been rejigged because there is, council recently resolved that, it came through the design Bassendean that if we were to present some density scenarios or a range of densities, there would need to be an understanding in the community of what the form and scale and nature of that density might look like. So through the Design Bassendine advisory group, they've decided that this becomes a priority work at the moment, but it's dovetailed with the current development I'm doing of the different residential density scenarios. And we hope to bring those two together out for community comment, probably targeting September of this year. So there'll be an opportunity for people to have a look at that and provide feedback to us. And the intent is to go out into the community and try and explain those and solicit or elicit feedback as possible, as much as possible. The view is still hoping that once we've done all that, and by then the transport study will be completed, because the transport study is one of the informing studies that need to help guide the local planning strategy. It's a key component of it. So that'll be completed, and we've already done the built form character study, which is leading into the development of these design guidelines. So with all that in place, we're still aiming to have a draft of the revised planning strategy by the first quarter of next year, and then that'll again go out through for formal public comment, and then it has to, and if it's all accepted or there's modifications and they're addressed to it, then follows through the statutory planning process itself, which might take a little bit of time from on there. In terms of the local planning scheme, we've already done a what's called a basic amendment, which has brought the scheme format up to date, and it's also corrected some anomalies. So the major thing to do now with the scheme is probably to look at any changes of land use and zones and the density codings, which will come out from the local planning strategy when that's completed. And that'll, and I envisage that any changes to the planning scheme will be a major amendment to that scheme rather than a wholesale review, so that will hopefully shorten that process somewhat. And then once we've got that out of the way, we can then start to dovetail or detail into the development of activity centre plans and what's called urban corridor plans, which are all set out in the Perth Peel 3.5 million planning framework. And that requires a lot more sort of detailed planning and design. So that's will follow the strategy and the scheme amendments. So that's hopefully a bit of an explanation of where the process is going and how long it's likely to take, but I'm happy to explain further to Bruce in writing if that's what he would require or request.
No, that's fine, Tony. I'm happy to keep
talking. Yep, okay, thank you.
I've got a number of other questions of my own, actually. So you referred to the major complex amendment of the scheme. Is that going to allow us to achieve the things, like, for example, we've talked about having design guidelines that are enforceable. Are we going to be able to incorporate that into a scheme amendment, or does that require a whole new scheme?
Oh, no, that can be done as part of a scheme amendment. If you want certain provisions written into a planning scheme that guides the form of development, well, there's two ways you can do it. One is you have local planning policies which become part of the planning scheme, or to give them a bit more statutory force, if you like, you can actually write them in as provisions in the scheme, and you can do that through a scheme amendment, so that can actually form part of that amendment.
Thank you. Yeah, that answers my question. Would there be an intention to do a new scheme at some stage down the track in addition to this?
Well, if we get this major amendment and it meets all the commission requirements, then I don't envisage that we would need to do a major new scheme. Local governments are required to review their scheme every 4 years, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do a new one. You just have to sort of give a report on what's happened to date and then make a determination as to whether a new scheme is required or you can substantially alter the current scheme.
Sorry for asking questions that might be a bit silly, but
that's all right.
It sounds like we would be making quite significant changes to our current scheme in terms of density, some land use,
yep,
having some of these provisions written in. What's the difference between doing a major amendment and doing a whole new scheme? Like, you indicated the time frame is shorter, but otherwise, what?
Yeah, if you did a whole new scheme, it would probably take at least 2 years, possibly longer. Some schemes are required to go through an environmental approval process, which can add more time to it. But by doing a scheme amendment, the process can be shorter because you're only concentrating on some, not a whole range of matters, rather you focus on several matters. And because we're a fairly urbanised community, I'm anticipating that won't be a problem by doing it through a scheme amendment. If you're more like perhaps, say, the city of Swan, where you've got urban and rural areas, that's fairly comprehensive. You may need to do a wholesale scheme. That's probably the only sort of difference I can explain at the moment.
Thank you. Councillor Quinton?
What has been the thinking around how we are going to explain and tell the story about this to our community in layman's speak? Has there been much thinking about that yet?
Well, we've talked about the ways and means we could go out and try and explain it to the community. But, you know, you're right about putting in layman's speak. I certainly think that's a consideration that we need to do because, you know, people like myself can talk in planning jargon and people don't understand it. So we obviously may need to look at trying to get assistance to help write that or present information and explanatory material to explain that. Has probably been done elsewhere. And the Mayor did mention the Future Bayswater Group to me, which I am aware of him, and that person was a person who resides in Bayswater who's simply off his own back has got up and put all this together and written explanations to the community. So, and he actually won a National Planning Champion Award for that as well. So there's a model out there for us to follow. But, yes, it look, I'm open to suggestions and ideas as how we may wish to do that.
Okay, yes, I think that it, picking up on Mr. Kay's point, it's all very well to put a plan out to a community, but if the community doesn't understand what you're putting to them,
yeah,
then it just creates lag time and confusion.
Mm.
So I'm wondering, is it that we're going to have to need to put some money around some kind of communication strategy to ensure that the community gets this, given that we do have such a short time frame to explain it to them?
Well, it depends how you're going to carry all that out, because if you want to have, like, forums and you want people to facilitate forums, then I would suggest you get a professional facilitator in. Alternatively, you know, you can have one-on-one meetings or briefings where I go out and make myself available to local groups and interested people to just sit down in their house or a community facility or wherever and just take on board their questions and queries and their issues and their suggestions, and obviously make a record and note of that. So there's various ways and means that you can do it, and you might want to do all of that.
So this is something that's been a topic of discussion in the Design Basso meetings,
yeah.
And I think yeah, it's quite clear that people want there to be something on our website that describes the process, that there are opportunities for people to engage, to give feedback, but also to be informed about the process, and even potentially some pre-consultation work so that we know what it is that people want. But I don't feel like we actually have a plan for what we're going to do yet. Is this something that you're working on, or how are we going to come up with this plan?
Well, I haven't specifically worked on a, if you call it, like a communications plan. And again, it's probably in a bit of a limbo because we've also got this position looking for some sort of marketing or communications officer. I don't know what that role would entail, whether they would be working with ourselves in this or how we might do it. As I said, there's a whole range of ideas that you could do, but obviously at this stage I haven't certainly given any structure to how that may occur.
We're not supposed to be giving opinions, but I think it's really important. I think the message is coming through that we need to make this a priority. One of the questions that I'd asked the CEO was around the money in your budget and how much money we had there for consultation. Is that something that you've been able to look at and discuss with him?
I had an amount of about $5,000 in the current budget, but that was more to do probably more with the statutory advertising and I think it was essentially for that. And maybe some printed materials, stuff like that. But at this stage, we're still working on our next budget, and obviously I built in a little bit of money to look at the statutory advertising also, but I've highlighted to Mike that we may need to set aside some additional money if you want to have some forum types where you need professional facilitators to lead that. Otherwise, I can simply go out into the community, and as I said before, I can sit there and present or inform them and outline to them what we're planning or what we're seeking and sit down with them one-on-one. But if you're trying to elicit out of a group of people in a group situation, I think you do need a professional facilitator for that.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Kay.
Councillor Brown?
I agree with Sarah. There is some confusion here. There's also some scepticism. You had the glossy brochure of the Ashfield Precinct Plan before your time. It's now discredited and judged. But you also got this problem with a minister responding to us just recently, saying that land that we have responsibility for to the north of the railway line is not going to be considered for residential purposes. Yet the TOD diagrams that are still circulating in the community show that this big yellow patch on the northern side that takes in some of those places, that's where the scepticism and confusion comes about. Have we written back, the question is, have we written back to the minister to say, look, you're not talking, your left hand's not talking your right hand, because you've still got this material out there about what you're going to do around TODs, but you're saying that it's it's not going to be considered.
Look, no, I haven't written back. Obviously, the advice of the minister was, so it sounds pretty certain that's the way we should go. The only other way you could probably look at it in a different way is, and I'm a big fan of what you called live-work development, which in my view could go in an industrial area like that, particularly if it's changing or transforming. And you're right, you've had a planning document that's been agreed to. It shows it as an activity centre. What the Commission will argue, where activity centres aren't just for high density, they're also places of employment. And obviously being an industrial area, that is a place of employment. But originally they had a periphery of residential around it, so that's gone from the final version. But obviously the Minister seems to have made the decision, well, even though that Perth Peel might show the activity centre extending on the north side, obviously any future housing development's got to be restricted to the south side of Guildford Road. So unless we get...
intended communities for disruption. The two needs to be engaged at the time. Get this other material away from us and deal with what she's talking about. Because people need some certainty on the south side of that railway line.
So, Councillor Brown, that might be something that you want to write into a proposed amendment for the council?
Yeah. I need to flag it. Thank you.
Any other questions on this item? Okay, 6-7, this is the Design Bassendean Advisory Group meeting.
Madam Mayor, just in the officer recommendation, it should actually say appoints.
Oh, yeah. The presiding member? Sorry, 6.7, are we? Yes. Do you have a question, Councillor Hamilton? I did. Just let me find out what it was. I think it was all covered in the previous item. Anybody else? No. 6.8, your MOVE program that we had the presentation on earlier. Councillor Hamilton?
Is it possible for the officers to give us a rundown of what they think our contribution should be? Because the presentation is great. I am interested in the program, but I'm just a little bit confused about what and where the contributions are supposed to be.
So the contribution is largely in kind. Going to be support by the administration for the project to proceed, and assistance with the administration, rooms for meetings, those sorts of things. Cold hard cash, there's no requirement of the town to contribute anything. However, you'd note the recommendation is for there to be a workshop with the councillors and the Department of Transport team on the 14th of August, and that would be the time when we would work up the program of activities that would be the Your Move Bassendean program. They'll come with some ideas on what they would like to undertake, and that we can have input at that time. That's probably the time that we would then make some determination as to whether or not a contribution by the town to the projects specifically that we would like to see undertaken might be appropriate. And whether that's a shared funding arrangement or we make a contribution, they're certainly not looking at the town making a substantial contribution.
Okay, so how does that work with our budgeting process then? Are you making a recommendation for a budget inclusion for this item?
No, we would be talking a budget variation or something to be considered as part of the budget review for February 2019.
No further questions? 6-9.
Can I just ask 6-9? The bell tower at 20 Hamilton Street, Bassendean. I did have a resident approach me who's a bit upset about that. So what's the... has there been communication with residents in that street about this or not?
Unfortunately, the officer who would have answered that is not here at the moment, so I'll get him to give you a call tomorrow if you like.
Okay.
We actually asked Brian if he was coming to the meeting tonight, and he said if there are any questions in my area,
please take
advise the councillors that they've taken on notice and answered.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, so 6-10.
Yeah.
I had a couple of questions, but I'm assuming that fall into the same category.
Thank you.
Yep. Councillor Wilson?
The proposed 7-lot development was knocked back. Is there someone here who's able to give a bit of a briefing on the...
I'll get Brian to give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, and we can ask it at the council meeting as well next week.
With these questions for Brian, I don't suppose it can be circulated to all the councillors because,
sure.
You know,
okay.
I'm interested as well, but, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm not sure why there is motions listed on this agenda, but item 8, moving on to confidential business. So we've got to consider the workforce plan, which was item 6.3, and the bus stop shelter, which is item 8.1. We'll need to turn off the streaming. And thank you for being here this evening, Mr. Kay.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Yes, that's how my wife spends quality time.
Yeah. Gets to see more of you now.
Thank you.